from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper. You are Live from the Path.
Pathway Studios here at Johnston proper. Oh, yes, it's good to see you. Hey. Hey.
Hey.
Stop your chit-chatting.
There's some chattering going on. I'm
trying to put on a legitimate program here.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, here's what's going on this week. Should be some good stuff. First of all, we are rounding out our exposure to the 50 proofs from GodIsImaginary.com. I mean, there's like three more.
That's not enough, Ben.
No, I know.
What's the tally?
God's at 47-0.
Oh.
By my estimation.
Could be a midnight rally. We look out. I don't think, unless we have to adjust the point scale so each of the three remaining are worth 15. And then God still takes it.
Yeah. I bet you he saves the best for the last.
We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully it comes out sharp. So
now,
anyway.
Doesn't he have three bonus?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple bonus ones.
All right, so we'll get to those two.
All right.
So anyway, we're going to get to that tonight. We'll do some advice on Dear Life from the Path. Question. Is it necessary that the every man that loves Jesus study theology?
Answer, no.
Wait, is there going to point of contentment? Is anybody a yes?
I am, yeah.
Okay, Nathaniel's a yes. So we're
counterpoint?
I
lean toward yes.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that. To what extent? What does that look like? How do you start? We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, a question for the room. What, you don't have to answer this right now.
But I'm ready.
What do you know now that you wish you would have known 5 years ago in your walk with Christ? That's the question.
That's the thinker.
Yeah, that's the thinker. What do you know now? I may even accept, like, what do you do now that you wish you had been doing 5 years ago in your walk with Christ as well? As long as it's not a you works-based solution. Like, if I were as awesome 5 years ago as I am now in loving the Lord, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
So put the think on that.
I'm going to have to rethink my answer, Ben.
I had been lined up.
I really put the kibosh to it. I was pretty awesome.
So anyway, we're going to do that, and then we'll do some, like I said, some advice on Dear Life from the Path. And here's the big announcement. So if you remember last year for Christmas, we did the Life from the Path Christmas Extravaganza. And we're continuing our biannual music festivals with a Life from the Path, Live from the Barn spring event. And this is going down June 7th at the Simpson Barn in Johnston. And it's an old-fashioned hymn sing with a twist. Because it is those old-fashioned hymns. There's just a little bit of
a bit of lime in there.
Yeah, a little bit of lime. So anyway, I tried to think of a lemon restaurant.
Yeah.
That's gone. Anyway, so that's a live studio audience type of deal where you can come out. It's completely free. Jeff Arendale is holding down the fort with the house band, just doing some hymns, some songs that you'll recognize, and should be a lot of fun. And we'll do that recording. We'll probably do a CD out of it. So you can come in, kind of be a part of that action. Check out the live show. We'd love to come out and meet you. And for you guys to come out and check out Jeff Arendale and his gang of all-stars doing the hymn sing at the Life from the Path, Life from the Barn event. So mark your calendars, June 7th. We'd love to see you out there. And just plan on coming.
I'll be there.
Dan's coming. Boova, you going to make it?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay, good. I think we're all straightened out. All right, let's talk about where we're at. We're on proof number 47 from GodIsImaginary.com, and he asks us to contemplate creation. Here it goes. Many Christians look at our universe, and especially life on planet Earth, and come to the conclusion that what we see is irreducible complexity. In the Christian view, the complexity of our universe and life on Earth requires an intelligent creator to bring everything into existence.
Correct.
A Christian might say, look at how amazing and complex life is. Look at how intricate the human eye is and the human brain. There is no way, underlined, that the human eye and the human brain arose spontaneously from the mud.
I've said that.
In the same way that a watch cannot appear without a watchmaker, there's no way that all this complexity arose without an intelligent creator.
Preach it, atheist man.
It is pinned Dan correctly.
Yes.
So, we have a question.
Hold on. Can I just interject real quick?
Yeah.
You read the synopsis of this last week,
yeah.
Dan responded with the exact same commentary as he did last week.
I do not change.
He's the exact same man from just
I am consistent.
Just go download the podcast from last week. Your synopsis, Dan interjected at the exact same time with the exact same comments.
Like, exactly.
Just for a heads up.
I'm surprised he doesn't at the end of this say, I've been wrong all along.
Dan is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Ouch.
The immutable Dan. Here we go. So we have a question that, back to him. We have a question that demands an answer, full colon. Did the complexity of life arise spontaneously, or did it require a creator? Christians believe that a creator is essential.
Amen.
Scientists believe that the idea of a creator is pure mythology, and that the complexity arose through natural processes like evolution. Who is right?
He's incorrect. Scientists are looking for proof. They'll just assume he's mythology. They can't prove him wrong, so how can they say he's not there?
Hey, Dan.
The proof thrown over you, Dan.
There's a little bit left, Dan.
I'm sorry. He's wrong.
He's fired up.
Just hang tight, Dan.
Okay,
here we go.
I'm done.
I'll save
it for the hymn sing.
You can actually answer this question yourself with a little logic. That's the problem, fellas.
Uh-oh.
It's a gap in logic. Here are the two options, full colon. One, the complexity of life and the universe did arise completely spontaneously and without any intelligence. Nature created all the complexity we see today. Two, an intelligent creator created all the complexity that we see today because complexity requires intelligence to create it. The advantage of the first option is that it is self-contained. The complexity arose spontaneously. No other explanation is required. The problem with the second option is that it immediately creates an impossibility. If complexity cannot arise without intelligence, then we immediately must ask who created that intelligent creator. The creator cannot spring into existence if complexity requires intelligence. Therefore, God is impossible. In other words, by applying logic, we can prove that God is imaginary. I'm going to call this a softball. Who wants to take it?
Go for it.
It's in your eyes.
Move it. Not for you, huh? Okay.
I was going to say, if you want me to take it, you can.
Isn't he trying to boil it down to motivation? Like if something was going to be to move forward and to evolve, that of what its motivation to do so.
Well, kind of. Look at his two options. The complexity of life in the universe did arise completely spontaneously and without any intelligence. Nature created all the complexity we see today. An intelligent creator created all the complexity that we see today because complexity requires intelligence to create it. Now listen to how he refutes number two. The advantage of the first option is that it is self-contained. The complexity arose spontaneously. Now listen, what's different about number one and number two?
Who created it?
Right. Number one, nature created.
He's
number two,
like my
the
guy
force
better
behind.
Than your guy.
God created. Now the only difference between those sentences are the God and the nature parts. But the God part is a problematic because someone had to create God. But the nature part is not problematic for him because we do not have to answer the question who created nature.
It just existed.
It just happened. Right?
Because God couldn't.
Nature is imaginary. This is the most blatant overlook of simple logic that I've seen from him yet. If you're going to present that you have a logic. Now, here's the deal. I've heard some intelligent discussions on evolution as a basis for the creation of the universe. I think there are smart people out there that I don't agree with, but can make a firm case in their mind that this is the answer, right? And are ignoring the God portion of it. I can get that. This is not a test in this logic here. This is just a complete, you're putting the God section under scrutiny and completely ignoring that position on the nature part. That's simply what it is. I didn't see anything further there.
Yeah, the fact that so he dismisses the first one saying that it's self-containing, completely content with not having to explain the concept of nature and the spontaneous reaction of nature creating the universe and everything around us being created by some spontaneous primordial soup happening, right? Mm. So he's completely content with not needing to explain that. I don't need to prove that nature existed. I don't need to prove that nature exploded into what we have today with the elements and planets and everything like that. But the fact that there's a God behind it, I have to prove that one. Nature, I'm okay with. God, I'm not. It's not self-contained, and he's contradicting himself.
I don't understand the premise. The complexity is what did he say? Complexity is the reason for, or intelligence was the reason for complexity. Like, here's the thing. Like, how would something non-intelligent know how to become complex? You know, like, how would the original eye that's not complicated go, hey, I feel like I'm missing more of the world. I should intelligize myself.
I should add so color.
I can get more dimension. And actually, if that's the deal, why are there TVs that can interpret data faster than my eye can, right? I feel like I should have evolved past that instead of making something that has evolved past me. Like, it just seems like a, like... There, I just don't see any historical proof that that's what's going on. Like, the unintelligent produce the intelligent by being unintelligent. Because the unintelligence would mean that you wouldn't know the difference between intelligence, you know? Like, it seems like an odd stance. I mean, apart from what he's saying, like, I never quite understood that part of evolution where they talk about, like you know, where something begat and turned into something over time. Like, 10 generations ago, the fish is like, I'm thinking about growing a leg. We should pass it on to the kids. And the kids are like, my old man was kind of into growing legs. Maybe we should keep this up. And then 10 generations later, you have a crocodile. Like, I never quite bought into it.
Yeah, it's the randomness. I think we talked about this on one of his other proofs before. Because again, like, I get the general evolution discussion. But I have trouble with its agency. Right, the people that say, for example, we were watching a kids program and it said the giraffe has a long neck. It adapted so it could eat the high acacia leaves. Right. But that means at some point, like, how is it thinking to itself, if only I could go, like, the reason it would adapt that way, it'd have to be taller by, you know, centimeters and inches over millions and millions of years to get there. But, like, why not grow out and eat something else? How does it even know the acacia leaves are tasty? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's no doubt. And grass is greener.
The lady on the thing goes, you know, so because other animals couldn't get it. And I thought, well, why isn't everybody a giraffe?
Exactly.
Said the giraffe has no natural predators and can reach food other people can't get. I feel like we should all be giraffes. That's the animal to be.
Yeah, that's true. You have no natural predators.
Ah. And so it's I'm sure there's some sort of explanation for that.
Oh, that's not a good one.
I don't get it. Like, the agency part of, as if there's cognizance on the way,
you know,
that it has evolved.
I was watching this dinosaur program with my kids, right? And this doofus come on there and he's like, and here's the dinosaurs, and they were attracted to this colorful bird known as the blah, 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 blah. I'm like, colorful bird? How do you know it's colorful? All you've seen is the bones.
And how do you know it was attracted to it?
He's like,
one bone.
They've known for
one?
Their crazy, colorful ways of wing patterns and their weird nesting techniques. I go, you are lying to my children. You're straight up lying. You have no idea what color these birds are. Like, how do you even come close
they've
to knowing
actually,
that?
They actually found feathers from extinct birds. And so they're going to say that those are the million-year-old birds. But if they were millions of years old, the feathers wouldn't be around. So. They've also found some actual skin cells that they're trying to find the pigmentation of as we speak. Of dinosaurs.
Well, I feel like I was wrong there then.
Well, no,
then they know the colors.
But I think he's right about the feather, though. Like, it's simply... It wouldn't have survived.
Why?
A million years.
How do you guys know that? You're not a scientist.
Yeah, that one.
I don't know. Have you seen
it? I knew one.
Dinosaur man says it's A-OK. Colorful feathers. Man, what you got there?
You know, just let's think about this. You kill a bird in your backyard, right? It hits the window. It's dead.
Okay.
A week later, what happens to it? Is it still there in your backyard?
Cat eats it.
Nope. Something eats it. It's gone. Forever. It decays, nothing.
Yeah, even a vulture will eat that, something nasty.
I don't know, you see a chicken farm, a bunch of chicken feathers everywhere, dead chickens gone, just feathers
remain. Yeah, but think about this, like a million years from now, are those chicken feathers going to still be there?
I don't know, I'm not a million-year-old man.
That's what I'm saying.
I can only say what's in front of me. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
You don't know millions.
I don't know millions. Neither do you. Nobody does.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Well, anyway, that was 37. I'm going to have to give that one to the Lord.
That was weak.
That was
pretty weak.
That's just a failure in logic.
He's basically saying, once again, God does not fit my definition of who God should be, so therefore he's imaginary.
All right, you're listening live from the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us here. So anyway, we're finished up proof number 37 from GodIsImaginary.com, and we're going to give that one to the Lord, or 47, excuse me. So let's look at opening salvo on proof number 48. Here we go. Proof number 48, compare prayer to a lucky horseshoe. Uh-oh. We're back onto his favorite topic. Here we go. The dictionary, opening salvo, the dictionary defines the word superstition in this way. An irrational belief that an object, action, or circumstance not logically related to a course of events influences its outcome. We've all seen plenty of superstitions. These are the superstitions that a rabbit's foot or a four-leaf clover bring good luck. There are the superstitions that breaking a mirror or seeing a black cat bring bad luck. And we all know that these superstitions are silly. A rabbit's foot or broken mirror has no good or bad influence on the course of events. This is obvious to any intelligent person. So let's imagine the following situation, blah, blah, blah. You have cancer, blah, blah, blah. Pay $100. Pray to be healed. There you go. We've heard this one from him before. But
yep.
It's basically a prayer doesn't work, and it's silly. So I guess we'll take a look at that next week.
Okay.
All right.
Now you're listening to Live from the Path. We're here every Monday night from 10 to 11 at livefromthepath.org. You can also catch us Saturdays at 7 p.m. on 99.3 KTA, and we hope that you do so. You can also check out livefromthepath.org during the week for clips from the show, including the musical clips from Silverside from last week. So we didn't get to broadcast that live, but we had the ladies from Silverside in, and they were excellent. They did a great job. We had a couple clips up there on the website and on the YouTube channel. You can also, if you sign up for the audio podcast, you got those clips and the interview that went along with it, extra special.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, Ben, because, let's say they want all the posts from us on the Facebook page. Is there something they have to do that? Like, can't you change your notifications to get all posts or something like that?
I think so. Like, if you go to, I don't know. I think if you go to notifications, you can change your notification settings and say that you want to receive all notifications.
Say, here's the deal. You want everything from Live from the Path because we put out a lot of junk, but you'll miss the good stuff if you don't get all the notifications. You know what I'm saying? Then you'll just see the junk and you'll never see the good thing that we've done.
On your Facebook page, you actually have a link that'll add interests. You can put Live from the Path as one of your interests. Name it a Live from the Path on your left-hand side. Make an entertainment Live from the Path. And you can actually click on that link, and it'll have nothing but what Live from the Path has posted. All of everything that's been put on our Facebook page, you can have right there.
Oh, that's handy.
Yep.
All right. I like it. Hey, man, what do you do with a guy? So let's say you had a guy who said he was going to delete his Facebook page like 3 months ago and still hasn't done it. And he keeps commenting, you know, once every couple weeks, I said I'm going to delete it. So I got a guy like this, right?
He's crying for help.
What's stopping him?
So here's one from today. He said this like 3 months ago. And today he said, I said I'd delete my page and I did what I needed to. It will be down in a few days. So deuces to everyone.
Deuces?
Is that a positive?
That's deuces.
Oh.
Yeah, what's two. That?
Oh, I thought that was like...
Peace. Goodbye.
Using the restroom.
No. Number
right,
two.
Dan.
Deuces.
All right. Huh. All right, so here's the question. Should the everyman study theology? Everyday guy loving the Lord, should he be engulfed in theological discussions?
How much do you mean? How much do you mean, Ben?
I don't know. Nathaniel, what are your thoughts?
Well, I've written some things down. I've collected my thoughts.
Ooh.
And this is what I have to say.
Okay.
Ew.
Move it along, Nathaniel. We're interested.
Sorry. Should all Christians study theology? Theology is defined the study of religious...
I'm sorry, hold on a minute. Did you write an essay that you're reading
from? This is a presentation?
Paragraph two.
Can you make us a PowerPoint as well?
Remember at Denny's this morning, I said, hey, I'm going to do something.
I know, when you said you were going to write stuff down, I didn't feel like you were going to give like a corporate seminar on it. Just spit out your thoughts.
Okay,
here's what Nathaniel has to say about theology.
Basically. You should study it because it's good.
No, you should read off the
thing. Yeah, you should read off your presentation.
I'll bet you have more in your presentation.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Do you have a PowerPoint?
I gotta read the thing.
Do we have a job aid that we can follow along
according
with?
According to Webster's Dictionary.
How far? How far are we talking? Like, what brand? How far? Like, are you talking like your basic set of beliefs on how the Bible is interpreted? Because you don't really have much of a choice but to do that.
I think you should always be studying and learning and meditating on the scripture and memorizing scripture and working on getting to know it better. I don't think you ever stop. And just by nature, if you keep doing that over a series of decades, you're going to be pretty darn good with your Bible. It's just going to happen.
I feel like that's true some more than others.
Yeah, I feel like there's some people who are going to do that and that all they're going to get from it is just getting in religious arguments.
Well, then they're not reading their Bible.
That's true. If you're a fickle, nasty person,
they're not getting the heart of God's word.
Yeah.
Because knowledge puffs up and...
I wouldn't say they're not reading the Bible. I would say they're not getting out of it what they should be because
they're
not putting
it. They need to be studying it more so they get it.
Okay.
Hold on. Are you saying...
I just... The fruit of the Spirit is not a fickle man that argues the Bible with people in a nasty way.
No,
let me put it that way.
Right. But so let's take it into account. So let's say God is imaginary.com.
Yeah.
So do you think he's reading the Bible?
I think he's read portions of it. He's not studying the Bible.
I think he's read
some
of his blog.
He said that you shouldn't. That's not reading. The guy's obviously not reading his Bible. No, he's reading it. He's just not getting into the Word and actually trying to get the heart of God out of it.
Right, so
you can read the Bible and make it whatever you want.
But the question that wasn't, hey, is it acceptable to partially read and then pervert the scriptures? Right. The question is, should the everyman who has a genuine heart for Christ study theology? So my answer is yes, because it comes out of wanting to know. By reading God's word, it brings up questions. Right, like you wrestle with the scriptures. I think when we're talking about theology, you're talking about like questions that arise from the scriptures as you study it. I want to study the scriptures.
Now based on that definition, though, it's impossible to say no.
That's right.
You're right.
I think that's what they're looking for, Mike.
Because if you're just trying to learn like theology, as in getting all the $20 words down, so you can impress people. That I don't care. Who cares? I don't care if you know what some man written word is that defines if you believe in mind, soul, and spirit. You're a trichotomist, who cares what it's called? Do you understand the biblical concepts?
Yeah,
I think every believer.
Hold on a second. So what Buva said before you just started talking was, yeah, that's what they want. Like we're a group of like Bible roughs that want you to agree to theology.
You basically set up a question that it's impossible to answer no, not because of its own virtuistic answer, but of the way that you phrased the question. You said that to define theology like a theology are the questions that come out of reading scripture. And if I say that's not necessary, then obviously you're going to say either I'm not reading scripture or I don't have any questions because I get it.
Okay, now hold on a second. So back to Nathaniel's lame corporate introduction. So theology is the systematic and rational study of concepts of God. And its influences and nature of religious truths. So, I mean, yeah, I think everyone should be into that.
I guess it just depends on how far out it reaches, right? If that's a systematic study of the Bible, then that's great. If that means you got to read 50 different authors on their take on the Bible, maybe not. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I'd go with that.
Yeah, I agree. Nathaniel, what are your thoughts?
That was basically my last paragraph.
To sum up. Let me flip to page 7.
I also want you to know that I had citations. No plagiarism here.
All right. Okay, study your Bible.
I
wrote it all out.
What'd you think that was going to be? The big bomb, Ben? You know what I'm saying? 30,000. No. Give it up. Join the Peace Corps.
Here's what I think is I think sometimes we approach the word theology as if it is for somebody else, right? Because it seems like we don't call it what it really is. Like we think it refers to studying other people who have studied the Bible as opposed to the study of God in his word.
I feel like you're just splitting hairs. Just study your Bible. You don't have to call it anything.
Well, that's fine. I guess that's what I'm saying, though. That's what it is. All right.
That could not have been. Was that your transition?
People on Radio Kids, I'm taking my paper back and forth.
You should write that out.
In a very businesslike manner. All right. So, okay. Next question, Smarty Pants. 5 years. So, 5 years ago, like, what do you wish that you knew or did in your Christian walk or in your walk with Christ 5 years ago that you know or do now?
You asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you, another participant on the program. Mr. Sassafras from the previous discussion.
Mr. Sassafras.
Listen, you sold a conversation. There's not two answers to that conversation. That means it's not a conversation. It's just a podium.
All of us are just standing there going, yes.
Hold on. You started with no.
Yeah, until you rephrased the question.
I got you straightened out. I feel like that was successful.
I'm still going with my no.
Okay, check this out. Would you ever kick your dog?
Yes.
Okay, then.
That's it?
Yeah.
I've done it.
Okay, then.
Man, I've been the right thing to do. I just want it done.
Five years, Mike. Answer the question.
I don't know, actually. I wasn't prepared to answer yet. I can't even remember what I was doing 5 years ago.
So 5 years ago, I'll take this one then, because this is definitely something that I should probably think about, considering the fact that 5 years ago, and I still am a complete and total idiot. But five years ago...
Can we vote on that?
Yeah, we can vote on that. It's going to be unanimous, yes.
Okay.
I wish I would have realized how helpful it is when you're honestly in daily prayer and studying your Bible. Honestly getting into the Word, seeking the heart of God exactly through that, reading your Bible every single day. 5 years ago, I had read Matthew, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. And I'd read Matthew probably 10 times saying, oh, I'm going to read the Bible entirely, but I would get to the end of Matthew and say, well, I think I got it down. You know, I think I got the gist of it. You know, Jesus is an awesome guy. all this good stuff, but I didn't actually try and seek the heart of God, and I didn't actually try and seek my own faith. All I wanted was to be able to say, yeah, I'm reading my Bible, and I pick it up every couple months. And my prayer was listening to my dad pray at the dinner table every once in a while. And then if I'm at a Bible conference or a believe or anything like that, I'm breaking down in tears and crying in my prayer life. But I did not live my walk every single day. And I feel like if I could go back to my 16-year-old self and say, dude, you know, you need to get in your Bible every single morning before you do anything, before you get dressed for the day, before you shower up, get in that Bible, study the heart of God, get into it, and then pray on it. You know, pray for forgiveness and repentance every time you even get into that Bible, man. That way, you know, you get exactly what God wants you to get out of that. God, you know, take what I'm reading today and really get and write on my heart today what you want me to know from this scripture. And I feel like that would help me at 16 so much.
You feel like 16-year-old Boova would listen to older Boova?
I feel like 16-year-old Boova would see me with a shaved head and a bit of a beard and a chipped tooth, and I would probably scare me, to be 100% honest. I was big, but I was a wussy.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to admit that now. I'm still a wussy, but I'm less of a wussy than I was back then.
Did you say wussy on the radio?
I don't think so. No.
Wussy?
Yeah.
Why?
I think you should stop saying it.
Let's swap it out
for
about
pansy. Yeah, I don't think it's allowed.
Well, my apologies to anyone who's offended. I was a pansy.
Yeah, that sits better. I don't know why.
There we go. All right.
It's got some more clown attributes to it.
Yeah, I was a pansy, and I'm still a bit of a pansy, but I'm less.
Are we going to have to beep that out? Because that'd be hip.
Anybody that gets upset about that is a wussy.
Yeah, exactly. Wuss.
Anyway, go ahead.
So, yeah, I would honestly taking that those I don't want to say the word ritual because that's going to sound bad, but those daily
disciplines.
Principles.
Yeah, yeah,
disciplines. Thank you. Those daily disciplines and actually growing your faith and getting brought under sanctification from the Holy Spirit. So,
okay, that's a good answer. I'm much in agreement with that. I'm much in agreement with a spiritual discipline of prayer and Bible reading, and not because I worship the Bible over God or because I treat prayer as if it's a Santa Claus, but because there's a living creator of the universe who has revealed his character to me through his word and given me access to be able to speak with him through prayer. And you'd be a fool to not want to do that, believing what I believe. But seeing it in its proper perspective on what that actually gives you access to, like this is not just a historical account. It is the heart and character of the living God. And you have the same access, for example, to a Holy Spirit that Peter had and that Paul had, you know, and thinking about it in those terms, I think really brings the Bible reading alive. And I would say that's something that I wish I would have had the correct perspective on 5 years ago. Dan Hudson.
Yeah, that's a fairly tough question. I've been trying to ponder. I think from a preacher's perspective, I can say that giving myself permission to teach more on a Sunday morning as opposed to, I mean, there's a difference between like preaching and teaching, you know, there's like the preach, or I've told myself there's a difference. And I think that I kind of swallowed in some of the you know, put cotton candy on. Not that we watered anything down. I mean, I think I've always tried to teach the scripture truthfully. I've never intentionally like softened anything, but maybe you add a little more flair to it or something, you know, a little pretty packaging and hey, we're doing a series on blah blah blah, you know, and sparkles and rather than just saying, hey, guess what? Like right now we're just going through Acts.
Yeah.
You know, just hey, open your Bible, here's where we're at. Next week will be the next verse. You know, and I've enjoyed doing that very most recently. And I don't know. I think that's maybe what I would do sooner than later.
Right.
I mean, I've done it before, and it's not like I've never done this before.
Right.
I just kind of strayed from it for a while, and that's what kind of comes to mind.
So far, we're 3 for 3 on hardcore Bible. Mike, you've had some time.
I'm sorry, dude. I got a complete blank. I can't form a thought for nothing.
I pretty much arrived, and
Here's the deal.
Six years is different, but five.
It's not because there's not like, things that I could tell my 5-year-old ago self. But I've been sitting here like trying really hard to come up with a coherent thought all night, and it's just not been happening for me. Can't do it.
Maybe you tell yourself to hang off the NyQuil a little bit.
I don't know. Ever since I decided to stop being such a negative guy, I got nothing. Like, there's nothing in my head to use. Absolutely nothing.
That's interesting. And
everybody has said something. You notice there's no rebut from me?
It's my whole
arsenal. What do you mean? Blah, 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 blah. I got nothing to say.
I would hope that you're not rebutting what we're saying right now.
No, that's not true. You put up the business at the end of that theology discussion.
I just
something,
said
something, man. Blah, 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 blah.
But that was the truth. You put out a question that wasn't really a question. You basically said, do you believe my name is Ben? You don't have any choice because my name is Ben. That was basically your discussion on theology.
I don't want to have to be treated this way. I'm good looking. The world isn't supposed to be this way for me. All the magazines say this. People are supposed to treat you right when you look as good as I do. Just not happening that way. Anyway. Nathaniel, did you have some?
I did, yes. Okay. I would, if I could talk to my 15-year-old self, I'd say, hey, man, there's no need to be so angry. And why are you filled up with pride? There's nothing that you should be able to boast for in except for Christ and his resurrection. So,
Do you think you would take your own advice seriously at that point?
Probably not.
Are you kind of angry today about how you were angry 5 years ago?
No. I don't think I'm angry about
it. I think that's a growth step.
But my parents told me the same thing back then, and I didn't listen to them. So I don't imagine why I would listen to myself.
Because you're better looking.
Well, that's true.
Your man's a little rough.
His head is filled with gray.
All right. Well, there you go. Hey, maybe something to think about for all you guys. What would you do differently? What would you have told your 5-year-old yourself 5 years ago? How does it help you look ahead to the next 5 years? And then once you figure that out, don't wait 5 years to do it. Why don't you just start 5 minutes from now and really save yourself the trouble of having to answer dumb questions like this on a radio?
No doubt.
See, you put yourself in this position. Don't act that way. You're listening to Live from the Path. That's a mistake. See? 5 years from now, what will you be doing with yourself? Mike, what do you got?
Dear Life from the Path, my wife's niece is marrying a wonderful man of Greek descent this summer. Her grandfather insists that his last name is too long and impossible to pronounce. He thinks they need to change the name when they marry. He went so far as to make them call him so he could tell them what he wanted. Then he gave them 10 days to think about it and call him back with their answer. He told the mother of the bride that if they don't change the name, then he's just not into the wedding anymore, implying that he won't help them pay for the event. Needless to say, this has most of the family shaking their heads and thinking the old man has finally lost it. We understand that this was common practice for families passing through Ellis Island, coming to America a century ago, but have you ever heard of this being done for a wedding? Being a therapist, I thought I'd seen and heard it all, until now. Please give us some insight. I'm hoping this lady friend will read your reply and share it with him.
Okay, time out. I have two comments. None of related to solving this problem. First of all, if you're going to the therapist who, when they run into problems, writes into the newspaper, I feel like...
Exactly. You should really figure out who you're
therapist. I mean, as much as Dan will tend to mock the everyday person that solves their problem through the newspaper, it's the therapist that makes money doing this that writes into the newspaper that really takes the cake for me. Second of all, as opposed to dealing with their problems outright, they're being very passive-aggressive about it as a therapist and writing in, and they hope that someone else reads the newspaper and picks up on the answer. Also very poor.
I agree.
Okay. Now, go ahead. Solve the problems. Booba, fix this. Their life's on a tangent.
I can see that. So I'm okay, so let me make sure that I know exactly what's going on. So the grandfather is whose grandfather is this?
It's the gal. So the lady who's writing, it says my wife's niece is marrying a Greek man. The niece's grandfather says his last name is too long. You need to fix that.
That's ridiculous.
Think about fixing it. Otherwise, I'm not really that into this wedding.
I'm just astonished at the fact that this man is willing to not pay for his, what would this be, his granddaughter's...
I don't know why he's paying anyway.
Yeah, like that also confused me, but I'm sure that goes into...
But it could be a cultural thing.
Yeah, there's got to be a reason why it's happening. He probably didn't just say, well, you know, I think I'm going to pay for this wedding now.
Wouldn't that be her dad? Wife's niece, so sibling's daughter's grandfather. Wouldn't that be her dad?
So it's the grandpa, the wife's dad.
Possibly.
That's a weird way for her to say that.
It could be like,
hey, my dad's being stubborn about this.
No, it's not. It could be the husband writing in. My wife's niece.
So my wife's niece.
It could be a dude.
Oh, okay.
Wife's sibling's daughter.
Oh, okay. Why did I assume it was a woman? That's wrong of me.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Okay, go ahead.
Who else would write in with this problem?
Damn. All right.
Okay, so what was our recommendation?
Okay, Grandpa, here's the deal. We love you. We honor you. We totally respect and understand what you're coming from. However, we also cannot disrespect the family heritage of my future husband's family, and we're gonna stick with that. Thank
my
you very
future
much.
Husband Apollos Hooptopopoulos.
Exactly. I'm going to leave my family and cleave to my new husband. And if you're not into that, that's all. We're sorry. And he's my husband, and I'm
That's a curmudgeon-y old man.
I feel
his
like,
last name is too long.
Yeah, his last name's too long and hard to pronounce. Change it.
I feel like there are deeper issues here than the last name. Like, he knows that they're not going to change the last name, so he just chose that as his battle to fight.
He like, didn't he bring in like the nationality. The is that an issue?
You think he's just picking a fight?
He's just picking a fight because he doesn't like the dude that she's marrying. And so he said, you know what? His name's too long.
So that's a chance that, I mean, obviously it may be kind of clouded under all that stuff, but there's a chance that this guy just really doesn't want to pronounce the last name. Like, I mean, I wouldn't immediately throw out the concept that there's a chance this guy is just that engraved in his ways, that he does not...
To the extent that I'll refuse to pay for the wedding because I don't want to say the last name, like, don't say it. Call him Potts.
Yeah.
Call him Ted and Dolores Potts, if that's what you would call it.
Like, I'm not saying he's...
Grandparents get away with that crap all the time. They'll just call you whatever they want.
Hey, Spooky.
I'm not saying he's right in saying that the guy needs to change his last name. I'm just saying I would not be surprised if someone's honestly asking that. They're honestly asking their...
What if his name really was Hooptopopoulos?
And we just destroyed all concept of anonymity for this guy?
Because that's ridiculous.
He's watching Live from the Path thinking, hey, how do they know
No, I think I'm on board with the grandpa. He needs to change that business. Hooptopoulos is a ridiculous name.
Depending on the name itself, you're okay with the grandfather requesting the name change. If it's Hooptopopoulos...
If his first name is Hoopty. If his name is Hoopty Hooptopoulos.
You think there's a chance this guy's name is Hoopty Hooptopoulos?
It's a possibility the grandpa's the only sane one in this tribe.
Okay, that's always a good chance.
Everyone else is off their binge gypsy, and Hoopty Hooptopoulos is trying to get in the crowd.
Hoopty Hooptopoulos is coming around.
Grandpa's
not happy.
He's the only good one in the crowd.
That's true. A therapist is writing into the paper, so... Like, Grandpa might
His family's a band of gypsies. They're going to marry Hoopty Hooptopoulos. Grandpa's trying to just... He's trying to get this family...
He's trying to end this.
...back on track. It's three wheels of a wagon heading into a mountain. And Grandpa's trying to steer this bison back to where it goes.
Grandpa says no to the Hooptopoulos.
I'm siding with Grandpa.
Come on, guys.
Okay. Surprisingly, Mike has gone with Grandpa against Hoopty Hooptopoulos. On the grounds of he may be the only sane one.
Who is unreasonable?
I'll accept
here.
That that's not an argument from a corner. Any minor variations on Hooptopoulos also could be problematic.
Agreed. Hapty Hooptopoulos. That's also true.
Hapty and Hoopty. Maybe that's his brother.
Pappy Poopopoulos. I mean, come on.
Hapty and Hoopty Poopopoulos.
Here we go. Secular says, you have described a man who is used to being in control and is not above using his money to manipulate. Gypsies.
Now, hold on a minute. Doesn't all money manipulate? I mean, aren't you always using money to influence one thing or the other?
Yeah. Give me that hamburger. Here's $5.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
You will serve me because I gave you five bones. All money is used that way.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay.
A century ago, when people came to this country through Ellis Island, many of them were escaping discrimination and wanted to leave their past behind them, which is why they Americanized their names.
Well, what? Maybe if they're criminals.
Now, like, it happened a lot at Ellis Island. That's fair.
No, I know that they changed their names, but, like, you changed it. You're not escaping discrimination by changing your name. You think everyone's going to, like, the Italian guy that's running a cart on the street after he came through Ellis Island, that they're not going to discriminate because he changed his name to Smith? That's just kind of a weird justification.
That does seem kind of odd.
No, it's a Smith.
It's a, I mean, it's like, a Smith.
You mistake.
No, it's a Smith. It's Giuseppe a Smith. That's what I'm saying.
It happened okay at my house. Hop to Papalus. Okay.
No, buy sausages from a hoop at the hoop.
Get the hoop at the away from me.
Others had it done for them by the government officials who couldn't understand them when they pronounced their names and wrote down what they thought they heard. Years ago in Sioux City, Iowa, my mother knew two brothers who walked through different lines and wound up with the names Ginsburg and Landsberg. I don't know which one's correct. That's a side note. Still, others were so eager to become Americans that they shortened or changed their names for that reason. I sincerely hope no one is expecting Granddad to pay for the upcoming wedding. That he would attempt to blackmail the young couple in this way is shameful. Let's hope they are mature enough to ignore him and that they have a long and happy life together. Opa.
Opa.
What happened?
That was beautiful.
Wait, so are we in agreement?
She basically said, don't involve Grandpa, but don't expect him to pay for it either, because he seems like a crotchety blackmailer.
Yeah, it's going to go with the territory.
And I'd say, listen to your elders, stop living your gypsy ways, and get Populous out of here. Grandpa's the only sane one in the group. Moving on. Dear Life from the Path, our youngest daughter will graduate from college next month. The school is 10 hours away by car, or a 2.5-hour plane ride. There are no direct flights. My husband and I are excited about this special day, and so is his 82-year-old mother. I'll call her Ethel. She mentioned yesterday that she's excited to go. Life from the Path, Ethel is not a well woman. She has trouble walking, falls occasionally, and hasn't been out of this town for 30 years. She's also hypercritical. She does nothing but complain about other people. Dang it. Her health, this country, etc., everything. Looking after her would be a huge burden. We'd like to attend this milestone event without the added stress of taking care of her. My husband and I have been married 25 years, and Ethel still complains about me. Because she's such a handful, we have never taken her to dinner or a movie. How do we, kindly, tell her that what she has in mind is not going to be possible?
I think you put in a video of the movie Vacation, and you just walk through what happened to Grandma.
What do you mean? Are you saying veiled threats?
Maybe not.
There's a movie called Vacation?
Yeah. Chevy Chase? I kind of reversed
it's that. It's the National Lampoon's.
Oh, so mean okay. Grandma.
Grandma ends up on a rocking chair on top of the car.
Okay.
Well, here's the deal. If she's critical anyway, it's not like you're going to stir a reaction that you're not going to get with anything else you say.
Yeah.
Just tell her
yeah.
she's not going.
You're going. I don't want to go. You're staying. I don't want to stay.
You know, oddly enough, a year ago yesterday, I was in the exact same situation, except without a cranky mother, but a daughter 12 hours away, no direct flights. We drove, brought my mother-in-law. It was a great trip. Of course, she's not the person that is described.
That's what kind of hinges the whole story, though, Dan, is the fact that she's cranky and hard to get along
with.
The
real issue is they don't like her. But you know what? Guess what? It's family. You get her a separate room.
She has to ride in the car with you.
Well, yeah.
You probably got to pay her way.
Get her some headphones. Get her some nice big band music.
I think, no. You sit mom down. You say, Mom, a year of crotchety living has left you home for this trip.
Yeah, their issue. I mean, they've had issues that go back a long time.
Yeah,
I mean, they don't even take her out.
What's she gonna do?
All.
You know, write you out of the will. Who cares? Mom.
They just need to work on the relationship. You know,
you
got to
hug her. You know, clean her dentures before you leave. But she's not going. Not with that attitude.
I like the firmness of the chat. They just say what you have in mind is not going to happen.
Yeah,
that's clear.
I like that. Yeah. Hey, Mom, what you're thinking? Not going to go down.
Just my friend Poppy. You don't even like our daughter, so why do you want to go?
Well, now, understanding, though, like, based upon the description here, is that this woman is always critical of the person that wrote it. So, like, her view of the grandma might maybe skewed slightly. Because she's always been critical of me. You know, again, something that didn't have to be added to the conversation.
I agree. Yeah. Did you have something to add, Nathaniel?
No, just agreeance. Yeah.
Secular says, you and your husband should tell his mother that graduation in the best of circumstances are stressful events and can be difficult for someone who is unsteady on her feet. Oh, yeah, that's going to go over like butter. Absolutely. We don't bring klutzes, Grandma. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're old and hard to get along with.
You're feeble. Your age is a problem.
Seriously, here's the deal. This is insulting. Old people aren't stupid, right? Their mind works a little slower. Their feet move a little slower. But they're not idiots. When you walk up and say, now, Grandma, it's a stressful situation, and it might be hard for you because you're unsteady on your feet. They hear exactly what you're saying. We're not taking you because you're a burden, right? I mean, they're not dumb. That's insulting.
It is.
You could also mention that seating is limited, only for important people. You're not one of them. because it is often at graduations. Then offer to videotape the ceremony so she doesn't have to miss it. We'll take the newfangled portable TV box and capture it for you. And you can play it on your tube when we get home.
Yeah. While you sit at home on your lonesome.
Yeah, you burdensome, not important enough woman. You can't go.
I don't know. I just think sometimes in family, you're just going to do some things that aren't enjoyable. She's afraid she's not going to enjoy it, the mom. And I understand that. And she's not going to enjoy it. There's going to be tense moments.
and is going to take away, you know, some of the thrill of watching their child graduate. But you know what? That's only if they allow it to take it away. They just need to focus on their child. Suck it up. Take your family member if she's healthy enough, and just do it. You're not going on some 6-week, you know, sabbatical thing. You're going on a trip to a vacation. I mean, excuse me, to a graduation, and then you're returning home.
You know, that's true too. Is like if you take the old lady with you, and you know that she's critical. As long as you know that ahead of time, there's no reason to get so upset about it, right? Yeah. Like
just grandma.
If you're half a day in and she's being critical, you can't be like, I can't believe she's acting like this. Well, yeah, you can. She always acts like that.
Here's what you do.
So stop taking it personally.
Mom needs to forgive her.
You say, Mom, I love you. I rented you a limo. It's going to take you all the way down there in a separate car. You rent Mom a limo. You put her in the back. Buy her some champagne. Drive her down on her own. Then you can take your Volkswagen and hold hands with your wife.
You should be able to hire someone from the Craigslist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I love you, Grandma.
I got you.
Like hiring Jim John down from the...
I got you a Craigslist boy.
Jim John's back alley taxi service.
What was it? Hippopotamus. What was the guy's name?
Hooptopotamus.
Yeah.
Hoppopopolis.
Hooptopopolis.
Anyway, he'll be taking you.
he'll be taking you.
Escorting you.
I thought you were a Greek gypsy.
This is 1987 Ford Pinto.
He likes to sing songs.
Dear Life from the Path, my 6-year-old daughter wants a dog more than anything in the world. She mentions it at least once a day. She's a great kid, well-behaved, doing well in school. So I hate to disappoint her, but I have absolutely no interest in taking on the added responsibility of a pet like that. My wife and I work long hours, and our home is unoccupied for most of the day. It's not over, Booba. Hold on a minute. It would have to be adjusted to be pet friendly. I have nothing against pets, but I could never be considered an animal lover. We currently have 2 goldfish, but I could see that the time on those guys brought me as quickly running out.
We never take them out for walks.
I want my daughter to be happy and rewarded for what a great kid she is. I don't want a dog. What do I do? Bad daddy. You're darn right, you're a bad daddy. Get that dog.
No. Get a stuffed dog.
You say no.
You say no.
Get him a dog.
No, absolutely
she's
not.
She's old enough to take care of it.
Yeah, at 6 years old, maybe you can start fostering some responsibilities and everything like that, but you're not going to be able to foster in a dog.
You don't know what you want when you're 6 years old. You want
you really
whatever
don't.
You saw last. Oh, Lassie was on. I'd like to have a collie. I mean, you know, hey, come on.
I'm sorry.
Lassie's not on anymore.
You are going to bring yourself nothing but stress. The kid is going to want to play with the dog for 10, 15 minutes a day.
Yep.
And it's just not going to work. I'm sorry. It's not going to.
Yeah, it is.
No, you find an alternate. You find an alternate way to reward your child. Obviously, you want to make sure that you're rewarding her for doing great in school.
Unless you live on a farm and the dog can be outside and do
exactly.
whatever it wants.
Exactly. But I think they said they have to prove it for the dog.
I live on a farm.
P.S. I live on a farm. Get Lassie, have fun. Hope you don't fall in a
well. Make it an outside dog.
Here's what I'm going to say: an unoccupied home most of the day is an unhappy home. Get the dog. Get it.
An unoccupied home that has a dog with 2 parents who work really long hours that don't have time to train the dog in anything.
If you work really long,
it's
going
to be parents coming home to the trash being ripped up, the dog having destroyed most of the stuff, and then the parents are completely upset.
How about one of the parents quits their job and raises their children?
Yes, that's what I'm for.
And then get a dog.
Yeah, and then get a dog.
Then you have time.
If one of the parents quits their job, helps out the kids, sure, I'll agree to that. And they live on a farm.
Okay. Yeah, so this is
they raise chickens.
Yeah.
Get a dog.
And they have to have a friend down the road whose name is Hoopty Hooptopopolis.
Yeah, if they got double income, no one's home, then they're going to spend all their time taking care of the dog rather than their child, which they're not taking care of anyway. You can only have time for a dog.
I would say your first step is to just try to find time in your day to spend time with your kid.
Let's get a cat.
We want to buy our kids love.
Yeah, a cat. Well, what about a cat? What are your thoughts on
a cat?
That seems
cat
fair.
Is
cats
much,
take care of themselves.
Yeah, they're
maybe
much
a lizard?
Less high maintenance.
Lizard. Actually, I don't have any problem flushing a lizard if it dies. You know, that feels amphibious to me.
Dude, flushing a live cat's really difficult.
How big is your toilet or how small is your cat?
That's the only
reason you're not flushing it down the toilet is a moral problem.
That's a sound you'll never forget. You know?
That's like, oh no.
Yeah.
That's some plumbing
problems. Yeah, that's
problem. Nemo.
You think Roto-Rooter's going to take care of that for me?
Nathaniel, your thoughts? Dog? No dog.
No dog. Cat, maybe.
Maybe cat. No dog. Here we go. Dear Life, here we go.
Make it quick. You got a minute and a half.
Secular says, I would have suggested that you consider allowing your daughter to adopt a hamster or guinea pig, but they require a certain amount of care. A child has to be responsible enough to feed, water, and clean the cage daily. I've had pets at 30 years old. I don't even do that crap. That's unrealistic.
Yeah.
And at 6, your daughter's not mature enough. My fish die because I don't clean the tank out. You know what I'm saying? I'm an old man. I'm a grown man. I don't do that.
I don't think you should have any pets, Mike.
I know. Yeah, I got pets. Kids. Tell her that when she is older, you will consider letting her have a pet. Cats require much less care than dogs do. Perhaps a compromise can be worked out at a later date.
All right.
Holy cats, we got to read the next one.
Oh, hold on. It's going to have to wait.
Okay.
You've been listening to Live from the Path, coming to you from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. We do appreciate you hanging out with us. If you are listening on 99.3 KTAA, we've just got to let you go. And so I'm going to have to do that. You can catch the live broadcast on Mondays at 7 o'clock at livefromthepath.org. You can hook up with us during the week at that same website, and we'd love to hear from you. Hey, you got complaints about the show? I hear you. I don't even like it. I'm in here. I'm going to send myself an email at info@livefromthepath.org and say, what happened to you guys? That's not, your show is not a fruit of the spirit. Anyway, we will, thanks for listening to the show. Make sure you visit our advertisers. They're good folks.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, hit me with it.
Dear Live from the Path, I am 75, and when I pass on, I would like the Undertaker to remove my 6 gold caps from my teeth. Then my wife can sell them to pay for my funeral. I think this will work out well. What is your take on this? Heck yeah.
Sure. Do it now. What are you waiting for?
Yeah. Do it.
It'll buy your dentures and.
I love this man. You know what? I'm dead. Take him out.
He's caring.
I mean, what are you going to do with your teeth?
You know, here's the deal. In the country of Vietnam, do you know that there's a booming economy for grinding bowls because people are buying rhino tusks and drinking it? I feel like I could sell my teeth as a rhino tusk and make big money in Vietnam.
Why are people drinking a rhino tusk?
They think it has it cures cancer. It doesn't. They think it's good for antioxidants. It's not really. It's just a bone. It's got a lot of keratin in it. It's like eating fingernails.
Oh.
People are foolish.
Hey, man, I got a ton of fingernails.
Yeah. You know what? Save your clippings. We'll grind it up.
I have been. I was trying to get enough to make
dusky.
You got that jar? Trying to get enough to make a maraca, but I mean, I suppose I could.
That is legitimately the most horrifying thing I have heard today.
Wait a minute. You are more disgusted by the fingernail maraca than you are him grinding up and drinking it? What does that say about you? Fingernail maraca seems all right.
I feel like grinding them up, you do whatever you want like that. That's a one-time thing, but don't bring around your fingernail maraca. And the next time I see you with maracas, I'm going to sit there and think about it. Just like, those fingernails.
I've one fingernail, one toenail. The toenail's got the deep. It's the deep bass shaker.
It's legitimately disgusting.
This is a true story. On the day that I moved into my dorm this year, I opened up the drawer to the desk, and there were toenails. Just like a bunch.
So wrong.
A bunch of them.
A little gift from last year.
Seriously. And they were just sitting in there.
To Nathaniel.
All nice.
Now, hold on. That's not a bad... Have you ever tried to contain your toenails when you're clipping them? I do it in the toilet. Because I feel like otherwise they just... They
that's
jump
what my wife does.
Yeah, they jump across the room, man. Like, you ever tried to put it in a bowl? Never going to happen. They don't ever fall in that bowl. They go wherever they want. So you got to do it in the toilet.
Yeah, you know, I do it up on the bathroom counter because it's taller, and I'm taller, and I just throw my leg up there.
Dan, I cannot escape the fact that I'm
more disgusting than I was before.
Full
fingernail maraca.
Leg up on
new
the
Dan.
Counter.
Got the fingernails. Toenails in the bathroom.
I do a few calisthenics.
Yeah, one. While I'm up here, might as well stretch a little bit.
I use the hedge clippers, too.
Belt sander just kind of hanging out in the bathroom.
Let's get back to Ed's problem before I vomit.
Let's figure out gold teeth McGrath
Ed
over here.
Ed wants to harvest his teeth, sell them off.
Do
your
it.
Thoughts.
Do it.
Yeah, do it.
Done. Do it.